I'm Jim Stevenson. Welcome to The Game Room.
I'm happy to be back at Wimbledon. I was really able to enjoy the match out there because I got off a good start, and when you get off a good start in set one and two, you're able to just enjoy the moment more than when you're struggling early on, you know, especially at the tournament. There's always pressure and nerves when you go into a first round.
Roger Federer knows how to shake off nerves. He's won Wimbledon 8 times. As defending champion, he opened on center court, where he hopes to complete his quest for another title.
It's a big deal. Besides the history and the mythical place that it is, you know, you cannot also practice on it. So when you come out, there's a bit of uncertainty for both players.
Now in his 20th professional season, Federer is starting to share his illustrious career directly with his children.
They know that there is a trophy involved at some point, if I do play well, because they get most excited about the trophies. So I think probably it would be helpful to a few more years for the boys to really remember. The girls, they will always remember at this point, of course.
And although he's a family man, Federer still has his admirers.
You look even more handsome than last year.
Okay.
My question is,
thank you.
Okay. How do you feel?
I feel great now. I feel red.
Okay. Yeah. How do you feel physically this year, this time?
And incredibly sexy.
We
Spanish great Rafael Nadal also made his first round debut on the famed center court.
He's always a special. It's a great tournament. Special way to go on the center court. The club is just fantastic, and I enjoyed the fact that I had the chance to play in the center court. It's great.
Serena Williams has won 7 Wimbledon titles and is serious about her tournament run.
I have such high expectations of myself, and I expect to go out there and I expected to win this match. You know, I don't go out there expecting to do well and, you know, see what happens. That's just not me. And not only do I expect to win, I expect to win emphatically.
Williams took a break to become a mom, but she didn't put aside her tenacious playing spirit.
I don't think I ever actually lost that competitive side. And in fact, I feel like it's stronger because I've been through so much and I put so much on the back burner. I feel like even more so, I'm even more competitive.
And she was happy to find herself as a seeded player, despite being out of action for a while.
I was pleasantly surprised. You know, I came in here expecting that maybe I wouldn't get a seed. I do know Wimbledon tends to kind of beat to their own drum, and, you know, that's kind of one thing that's been able to set them apart.
Spaniard Garabina Muguruza is the women's defending champion and has had a year to feel the prestige of being a Wimbledon champion.
I won Wimbledon, you know, it's like priceless. And of course, it's a Grand Slam. And the repercussion, of course, that has winning Wimbledon, it has a big impact.
NBA superstar LeBron James remained a free agent for less than a day. He is going to Los Angeles to become part of the storied Lakers franchise. The 33-year-old James will bank $153.3 million over 4 years. The Lakers are hoping to bank on at least one more championship with King James on the court. Tickets for the upcoming Lakers season are not yet available, but that didn't stop fans from checking out StubHub, the online ticket exchange, which saw an incredible 7,400% increase in ticket searches for the Lakers. One game that is certain is the home opener, which last season went for as low as $60. This season, the lowest price so far is $545, an 800% increase. What's also popular? LeBron's new Laker jersey, which retains his number 23. The company Fanatics, which operates the official NBA store, had one of its 10 best-selling days ever as LeBron James jerseys were being snapped up at a record pace.
It feels unreal. Yeah, I wasn't expecting this at all. I wasn't expecting it, you know, last 3 holes. I just trying to get somewhere close to a playoff, and then But I was very fortunate to end up like this.
Swedish golfer Alex Noren ended up the winner of the HNA Open de France in large part with his solid play.
I just, you know, managed to hit it a lot better off the tee the last 2 days than the first 2 days. And around here, you can't miss fairways. You know, it's so tough.
And should he be playing on Europe's Ryder Cup team, he'll be back on the same course.
You think about how it would be with, you know, all these people and all that pressure and the joy and everything. So it's, it's fun. It's a cool venue, isn't it?
Russell Knox of Scotland finished one shot behind, challenging for the win because of his skills.
The conditions this year obviously favored me. It was much firmer, much faster this year. The weather last year, I remember, was bad. Played in the rain one day. I enjoy playing tough courses. I mean, I've been hitting the ball great. This course is narrow, and I mean, that's my biggest strength, is to get and play off the tee.
Knox shared second place with American Julian Suri, who felt himself fading at the end.
You know, I kind of just threw away the tournament there with that second shot, but to be honest, like I was kind of losing my swing the last probably six holes or so. You know, compared to the way I hit it yesterday, today wasn't up to par, and I kind of just scored a lot better. The wind was down, and overall, you know, it was a positive week. It's a tough course, but it stings pretty good right now.
Spanish golfer Jon Rahm is the defending champion at the Irish Open this week and has fond memories of his first European Tour win last year.
When it comes to winning the European Tour and, you know, to be my first win in Europe, besides the Spanish Open, there's not many events that will mean almost equally as much, and this one was one of them. You know, it's a prestigious event. The people of Ireland and the event and the environment make it so much more special, and it was such a fun week. Besides playing good, you know, I had such a fun time. I mean, the atmosphere was great, and, you know, it's going to be very difficult to top that week last year in Ireland.
Shane Lowry of Ireland won in 2009, a victory he still vividly remembers.
This is my 10th Irish Open this week, so I'm starting to feel old. Yeah, I mean, obviously it kick-started my career, and I'm very grateful for that, and I think I'll always put that down as my greatest achievement in golf, no matter what I do. It's something that I didn't think was possible to do at the time, and even now I still find it hard to believe that I actually did it.
2007 Irish Open champion Padraig Harrington was another who won on home soil.
I'm looking forward to it. You know, it's my 23rd Irish Open, and you want to put too much pressure on yourself, you want to play well, you're really pushing yourself, and those things you have to ease off on and just try and relax and take it a little easier. Treat it like a major week where you really back off things and you let it all happen.
And then there were eight. The World Cup in Russia is down to the quarterfinals. Half have won at least one World Cup, the other half hoping to claim their first. Uruguay and France will be a battle of past champions, while record five-time winner Brazil takes on Belgium. England and Sweden could prove to be a tight game, while Russia will be seeking to thrill the home fans once again in a match with Croatia. The World Cup is coming to fans at a great price. The tournament is the most expensive ever, with the official price tag around $15 billion. The result? Several huge new stadiums, railroads, and upgraded airports, plus the chance to reboot Russia's global image. It begs the question, will the tournament represent a good value for Russians? Officially, Russia has spent close to $3 billion on 12 new or upgraded stadiums. At least another $8 billion has been spent on infrastructure. Professor Leonid Grigorov is at the Analytical Center for Russian Government.
The discussion of the efficiency of the championship in Russia, like in Brazil, is the discussion of economic efficiency of a wedding dress. On one hand, it's necessary. It makes everybody happy. The exact economic efficiency definitely cannot be defined in American quarterly financial reports. It's a long-term story. We still hope to become not only hockey country, but football country.
Brazil hosted the last World Cup in 2014 at a cost of $11 billion. 4 years later, many of their traveling fans, like Marcio Pessoa, feel shortchanged.
Comparing Brazil with Russia, the infrastructure here is much better than ours.
Moscow is hosting its biggest number of tourists ever, and its $15 billion investment is aimed at giving Russia an image makeover in the eyes of the world. Even as political analyst Dmitry Oreshkin notes, Russia is facing sanctions over its invasion of Ukraine.
Putin, with all this strength, pretends that all that is not important for him. Despite sanctions, we conduct such a gorgeous World Cup. Despite sanctions, we go ahead with the war in Syria, and the world has no right to lecture us. And the people enjoy that until the very moment that they start feeling that for all this pleasure, they are paying out of their own pockets. It is right now that they start feeling that.
First to feel it are the middle-aged. On the opening day of the World Cup, the government announced a gradual rise in the pension age from 60 to 65 for men and a bigger jump, 55 to 63 for women. But Russia says the World Cup is partly a gift for its youth, with unforgettable memories and glittering new facilities. The tournament finishes this month. Its legacy will be measured in the coming years. The Game Room opens with new stories each week, or play anytime on voanews.com.